Next Lord's Day, we shall be ministering the word in our mother church, Life Church. So it is such a joy. I want to say goodbye for about 11 weeks. Please remember us in prayer. Will you all please remember that we remember to pray one for another? And as announced tonight, the Sunset Gospel Hour is 5:30. Do please come. And that will be Stephen's last Sunday as he will go to Vancouver to serve the Lord in Vancouver. So come and lend him your ears and support the recital of sacred music. Now I invite you to turn again to the Holy Word in Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. And do please keep your Bibles open there. The inspired poet Job, can you visualize him? Diseased, sick, sitting on an ash heap. What a man. Lost 10 children in one day. All his belongings included. Nothing left. Not even the sympathy of his wife. Only one friend left. Not the three friends who came to sympathize but sat down to criticize. Only God was left. What a man. And in all these trials, Job stood firm in his faith. Can you, dear friends? What troubles have come your way? And how have you complained and wondered, is there really a God who loves me? Think of Job and how out of that ash heap he spoke immense truth, words of everlasting reality and life. Out of his suffering, he comes to us with the inspired word of God. How did he know? Holy Spirit revealed to him. How can we know? Holy Spirit must speak to you. You cannot know otherwise. Read the word of God with humility and say, Lord, please, I doubt, but may your Holy Spirit take away that doubt. Help me to submit to the truth of thy word that I may understand. Out of this passage we had earlier read, we can draw three lessons, three great spiritual teachings. Firstly, that this life is full of trouble. And I think most of us can agree with this. Secondly, that life's span on earth is fixed by God. That one, many people do not appreciate simply by the way they live, by the way they behave. Some behave as though they are part of the scene and they'll never disappear. And the third point is that there is life beyond life. The present life is not all. There is something more, far more beyond this life. Do you know that? Do you know what is coming ahead? And are you prepared for it? Now, these are the three points that I would like to just, first of all, lay before you as we have read that passage. Look at verse 1. Job speaks to us words of tremendous truth. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. This raises a question, and I have no doubt that some of us have asked this question. Why do afflictions befall the righteous? I have done nothing wrong. In fact, I have been striving my uttermost to serve the Lord and to obey His holy law. And this thing has happened to me. Why? 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 I told you the story of Brother Peter Wong, who is shortly joining us as our missionary to Saipan out of Brunei. He was in London. The son, 2 years old, was in Brunei. Eating his food, swallowed a piece of meat, and within the matter of 5 to 10 minutes, he was dead. Why? Why should a servant of God preparing to serve the Lord in London hear the news that his son, 8,000 miles away, should die? A healthy boy eating food dies from choking. These are things that we cannot fully understand today. Why do afflictions befall the righteous man? Why do the godly suffer? Why should Job suffer? Oh, Job was a righteous man, a godly man. In all the earth, there was not a man like Job. Who said so? God said so. Not a man like Job. Why did he suffer? So all these are perplexing questions. Sometimes we look at the broader picture, and surely you do not need super intelligence to understand the world is in big chaos today. Famine. Oftentimes we read Time and Newsweek and see what? Starving thousands of black Africans, dying by the thousands every day. Why? Innocent children, why do they die? Now look at the civil war in Sri Lanka. Our brother Paul Hull, who is going to be a missionary from Calvary, going back to Sri Lanka. His people are fighting each other, killing themselves, tearing themselves apart. Why? Who suffers? Innocent people. Then the turmoil today in Eastern Europe. All these things come to us on the television screen. Isn't that so? And you say, surely there's a God, but we wonder why God doesn't do something about it. Then you look closer home. As I said, a young child can die. A child born with a hole in the heart and within a short time, despite the best of surgery, dies. My friend, those who joined medical school with us, one night went to sleep as usual with his wife. Next morning, she wakes up, but she doesn't. He doesn't. Dead in sleep. Someone else in our congregation prepares for retirement. X-ray shows cancer. So these are the things that cause us to think, isn't it? How about you? Who's the next? These things come to anyone. There is no exemption. So we all ask, if there is a God of justice, love, and mercy, why are there all these troubles? And I say, you cannot understand all these things except you come to God's word. Men of the world will tell you, study your horoscope, your palmistry, and all kinds of fortune tellings. And they say, too bad, bad luck. Next year is a year of bad luck. Don't do this, don't do that. I don't know. This year seems to be a year of good luck. Everybody's getting married. So they have studied the stars and the things, and they tell each other all these. I say, only God's word, friends. These troubles stem from just one thing. The divine sentence passed on mankind through Adam. When God spoke to Adam, in the day you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of evil, thou shalt surely die. And that is the sentence. And out of this comes the curse upon all mankind. The whole world is fallen under that curse. So with the curse comes all kinds of troubles. Verse 1. Man that is born of woman. All of us were born of Eve. No matter what your evolutionist professor tells you, you cannot escape the fact that we all came out of the seed of Adam and Eve. And it's a few days. And full of trouble. There is no way you can escape this full of trouble. But, praise God, God has given us a solution. An escape from all these troubles. Not that you are going to escape all these troubles now, but there is ultimate answer and solution. This sentence that God said in the Garden of Eden, that thou shalt surely die. I say this sure death is manifested then in this first verse, that man is of few days and full of trouble. This sure death, please let us understand, is not an instant death. It's not a case of Adam ate and then drops down dead. No, friends, neither are we hit by that kind of a sentence. But understand all the same that we all are in the process of dying. From the moment you step into this world, you join the race of death. So this sentence which says, thou shalt surely die, leaves no exception. All of us die. And this is manifested in this first verse. Your life on earth is of few days and full of trouble. So I call this a limited life, a shortened life. God made man to live free from death, to live, just to live, not to die. But as by one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men because all have sinned. All of us are born tainted with that seed of sin. And all of us sin because inside us is the root and the seed of sin, we sin. And the wages of sin is death. So that is the explanation for all these things we have been talking about. Famines, unrest, bloodshed, sickness, accident. The Chinese call this a sea of sorrows, a bitter sea, full of troubles. For the Christian, for you and me, I think there are two responses. Number one, because it says here in verse 5 that thou hast appointed his bounds, and it's only a few days. So we say, at least it is only a few days. For we are not on earth to suffer this kind of trouble for 200 years, for example. That would be terrible, isn't it? Or 100 years. It is only a few days. So that seems to be the first point we can make out of this, that God has fixed our days, only a few. And secondly, because of these troubles, I dare say many of us in our troubles turn to God in prayer. Don't you? All of us understand the throne of grace. And most of us pray more when we suffer. It's a natural response. Oh, I need God. I need the Lord. I pray more. Because there is a great trouble coming. Or something has happened to me. Or I want something from God. I pray. So that in the prayer, God turns our hearts back to Him and up to Him there. When there is trouble, our hearts are turned heavenwards. And there we begin to think, surely God has a better thing, a better plan for me up there in heaven. So troubles have their uses, even as we understand, sweet are the uses of adversity, says Shakespeare. So, dear friends, sometimes we must thank God for troubles even. Thank God that these troubles cause us not to sink our hopes on earth. Don't. Or to plan on earth. Don't. We have to, up to a certain extent, but not all our planning. In fact, the major planning, the prior planning, must be for heaven. Let's consider the second point that I mentioned earlier, that our lifespan on earth is fixed by God. Appointed time. Can you understand this? That we don't appoint the time. And even the Chinese have a saying which says, death and life are ordered and fixed. 死生有命. Understand Chinese? Is that right? Ah, thank you. I was not very sure. That your life and death is beyond your control. Men have all sorts of power, but against that appointed time, no one has any power. It is an undeniable fact that no man has power to change God's appointed time for him. Firstly, when to be born. Did you plan when you were to be born? And when to go? No man can delay that exit out of earth. When the call comes, you have to go. Not the best of doctors or medical science can keep you going. You may look like a Christmas tree with all kinds of things hanging and tubes running into you and machines to keep your heart going and lungs breathing. You can go on for maybe a few days, weeks, months. Some rich ones, maybe for a year or two, by machines. Then lie there as a vegetable. But you cannot delay. The moment those machines are taken away, you go. You cannot delay it. Death and life are ordered by a higher authority. Not you, not me, but the Creator. He orders it. He orders when you should come and orders when you should go. So, Job, sitting there on the ash heap, says, oh, what is life? Life is full of trouble. True? So true. Verse 2. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continues not. Regardless of status or stature. Think of Princess Diana, idol of the world. No one in all the history of the world evoked that amount of emotion and sorrow when she was killed or she died. Not even her royal status could save her. So it says here, we come forth like a flower, especially women, girls, very beautiful. Today, can win the contest, Miss Singapore. But then your day passes very fast. Then next thing you know is you're sitting on the wheelchair in Lentor home. Would you then compete for Miss Lentor? No, you won't. That flower is gone already. It is a short day. He cometh forth, verse 2, like a flower is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Job in an earlier chapter says this, man goes down to the grave. And I think of this often because in our practice we see death perhaps more often than you do. And so many times we see mothers die in childbirth, babies born dead. And so we think to ourselves, what is life? What is it all about? Now, I've been going to the Tanglin Shopping Center, the Singapore Medical Center, for nearly 30 years, walking the same steps. I'm almost like an establishment because one of the first to be there, and they always see this old man now coming up and down. One day, they will not see me walking there anymore. The same. We see people walking past. When I used to go to my clinic, I used to see one old friend, always walking his early morning walk, retired, but walking. After a while, we found he had gone. Job says, man goes down to the grave. Now listen to this carefully. And shall come up no more. Come up no more. Don't you believe that they come back as ghosts? They don't. Ghosts are real, but ghosts are not the people come back. Please understand. When I spoke of this about 2 years ago, everybody came to hear my ghost stories. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, man goes down to the grave and shall come up no more. It says so. It is so. Then you say, who are the ghosts? Ghosts are evil spirits, are hallucinations, things that appear. Yes, are they real? Yes, but they are not your friend who went to the grave. He doesn't come back to visit you. He returns no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Once you're gone, you're gone. People can remember you for a few months, or a year or two. After a while, people are interested in the living, not in the dead. He has passed from the scene. And this reminds me of my senior Cambridge days in the old days. We all had to learn As You Like It and Shakespeare. Do you still study Shakespeare? I don't know. 21st century, maybe Shakespeare is out of date. But Shakespeare says this, all the world is a stage, and all its men and women merely players. This is the stage. And he says they all have the exits and the entrances. One way out, one way in. One comes in, takes his part, plays his part. Then when the time comes, he gets out. You know that? I say, life is but a stage show, or maybe a road show. And each one has just his part prescribed for him. And as directed by the master producer of life's drama. Can you follow? And the master producer is our great God and creator. And he determines that you enter, then he says you get out. You don't control, he controls you. My friend, at which stage of your acting are you? We're all on the stage here. Some are starting, some are ending. But you don't know when. When the director says, out, out you go. So this is the appointed time. Our appointed time is on this stage of life. And it is fixed by at the time of your birth. The clock of life is wound but once. And no one has the power to know just when that clock will stop at late or early hour. You have no power. But I know this. Up there, a clock is ticking away by the command of the great creator. And when that clock stops, I stop. So this is a picture of life. How sad it is if you only look at this life. So Job, looking at the broad scene of life, says this. Verse 7. Even a tree is better than man, isn't it? Even a tree. For man is dead, buried, and gone, and rots in the grave. But look at verse 7. He says, there is hope in the tree. If you cut it down, it will spring again. It will sprout out again. And that tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, when it rains, when the water comes in, the roots begin to absorb life and then new shoots come out. And before long, a new tree. Oh, a tree is good. I wish I were born a tree. Dear friends, this is only a picture of ignorance, an expression of ignorance. How come tree can grow again? But my father and mother in the grave don't come up again. How come? But, my friend, God has far more for us than trees. The man of God, Moses, writes in Psalm 90, that famous verse, the days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80, so what is your lifespan? The average from the time of Moses about 4,000, 3,500 years ago until now, despite all scientific progress and medical advancement, is still 70 to 80, exactly the same. From the time of Moses till now, man has not improved very much, you know. So what is the lesson? Your lifespan on earth is 70 years. If you're extra strong, 80, super strong, 90, super duper strong 100, then you sit in a wheelchair also. What can you do? I say, what is your expectation now today? You say, I'm 50. Pretty good, midpoint. Really? I say, but please understand, statistics are statistics, only a figure. You are not a statistic, neither am I. We are created in God's image after His likeness. We have flesh and blood. We have a soul. And we think. We have spirit in us. We are not a statistic. And God has a purpose for you on earth. When does He call you back? I don't know. But the lesson is, be ready. Because you are not a statistic. If you are a statistic and you say, I fall into the 70 group, then I'm 30, I don't care. I got 40 more years. To 70, I got 40 good years. I will do what I like, when I like, anyhow I like. 40 years ago, I say, very wrong, right? Very wrong. You are not a statistic. So, that statistic offers you no protection, no comfort, although it says 60 years and 10 in the, you are 20 or 30. Death does not exempt you from the statistic of death. Death hits anyone, anytime. And it is a reality which we have to face. Your time is appointed. Any time the Creator can call, any one of us, any age, anywhere. Don't say, now I'm in hospital surrounded by doctors. Surely all the doctors look after me. I had a patient on Friday. She said, you doctors know how to look after yourself. Look at me. I'm not a doctor. Therefore, I suffer. How wrong. He says, she had pain in the knees. Pain in the knees. I never had pain in the knees. I say, my wife has pain in the knees like you. She's a doctor. I'm a doctor. We're all doctors here. But her knees still suffer like you. Exactly the same. So how wrong? How wrong to say, doctors look after themselves better. Doctors are the worst to look after themselves. So I say, dear friends, Moses says, teach us to number our days. Right? My time is appointed. I don't know when I have to go, but I know I have a certain time left. It may be one day. You laugh. One day. Oh, my son's music teacher, bandmaster in Anglo-Chinese school, was going for his long leave in Europe. He had a car hired, ready for him. His passage was booked. That night he went to sleep. Next morning he was dead. So I say, maybe one day. Don't laugh. Maybe 1 month. I don't know. I'm not wishing you bad luck, you know. But all of us must be ready. We must learn the lesson. We must take account of our lives. Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days. How do you number my days? How to number my days? I don't even know how many days I'm going to live, to live on. So how do you number? I say it means simply, do some life accounting, budgeting. Supposing I have 1 year to live, plan for the year what you would like to do for God and for yourself, that you may live the kind of life that God wants you to live. Plan for it. Don't live on dreamily, haphazardly, happy-go-lucky, doing anything anyhow, anytime. No. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Think. God has put you here for a purpose. What am I doing with my time? How am I living out my life? The Apostle Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly. In this day and age, I said there is no better advice than to heed the word of God. See then that you walk and live circumspectly. Number your days. Apply your hearts to wisdom. Don't just live like the world. Don't do the things they do because all people do, you do. No, that is not the way to live, because when our time is up, we have to go, and it's not the end. As it is appointed, again the word is appointed, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, judgment. One day you have to stand. When God calls, you cannot refuse, and you'll stand there and give an account. See then that you walk and live circumspectly. Circumspect means judiciously, wisely, seeing and weighing all the circumstances around you, what you ought to do, where you are, how you ought to live circumspectly. Not as fools. A fool charges on with his head in the sand, said nothing's wrong. And his head is in the sand. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you know that? Oh, the economy is not improving and things are not going to be good forever. You know, it may improve somewhat. Things will improve because whatever goes down must come up. So there's an unbroken law, is it? What goes up must come down, what goes down must come up. So things improve somewhat. Don't say, wow, now golden age is here. We can live and live forever. I say, how wrong, how wrong. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can we redeem the time? Seeing that our time is appointed. How? To redeem the time is to maximize your use of time. Transfer wasteful time into useful time. How many minutes do you waste a day doing nothing useful? Your day is 24 hours, it's 24 inches of gold. How do you put that gold to use? How do you invest that gold? Redeem that time. Put wasteful time to useful time. Now is the only time you have. I said just now, the clock of life is wound but once. And no man has the power to know just when that clock will stop. At late or early hour. Now is the only time we have to do the Master's will. Do not delay another day. Your clock may then be still. Now we come to the final and the third point. Verses 14 and 15. Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? Now, having asked the question, God gives him the answer, the inspired answer. You know, Job's book is one of the earliest known books in the Bible. And he precedes the New Testament by a long, long time. And in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul in particular, and the words of our Lord Jesus, it's revealed to us there's a life after life. The resurrection of the dead in Christ. All these are revealed only in the late stage. But Job saw it thousands of years ago. What did he say? Verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. What a revelation, dear friends. A question is followed by an answer that is not his imagination. An answer which comes only from the one who appointed that time for us. The Creator. The great producer of the drama of life. And he shows to Job, Job, here you are skin and bones, covered over with sores, suffering almost on the point of death perhaps. But beyond this life there is something better. Beyond what you see, there's something invisible today, but it will become very visible when it is all revealed, open to you. Pray God today that He will open our spiritual eyes to see the great beyond that God has prepared for those who love Him, for those who have come to receive that salvation grace. So, verse 14 says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Answer, yes, all the days of my appointed time when I shall lie in the grave, I know I will die someday. And I will lie down. And again, it is an appointed time. As much as God appoints a time for you to be on earth, He also appoints a time for you to be in the grave when we die. And we shall lie in that grave according to God's appointed time until the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, comes and calls, then that appointed time is up. So Job says, all the days of that appointed time will I wait, lying in the grave, rotting away, and though I know after my skin, worms will destroy this body. True? Yes. Afraid? No. Why? Because that is the way of all flesh. You will be destroyed, rot away. Decay, but the Creator who first made me has something most wonderful. He who made me will remake me. He who created me will recreate me. How did he create me in the first place? By the word of his mouth, out of dust. Now when he comes by the word of mouth, so the Lord Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And all they do hear will come forth. Now, watch carefully. There are two resurrections. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. How can you merit the first resurrection is the big question today. How can I merit the first resurrection? The resurrection of life. For God has sent his Son to win for us that resurrection when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who, taking on flesh and blood as one of us, died the death to destroy him who has the power of death. On the cross, he overcame the power of Satan and power of death. And there he bought our redemption and our salvation. And there he opened for us this way to the resurrection of life. But until then, should we go through this appointed time and our time is up, we die. Then we lie down, it says here, verse 14, all the days of that appointed time when God has called me, I will lie down. How long? I don't know. But if I should die now, I dare say that the waiting time will not be very long. Certainly much shorter than Adam's waiting. Yeah, Adam's from the beginning waiting till now. And Moses waiting till now. And all the patriarchs waiting. All the thousands of years. All the believers in Jesus Christ. All lying down, all waiting. What? For what? For that day when the Son of God will come and he will call. And at his call, none can refuse. And I say, please, book your place for the first call. There are two calls, understand, please. Two. When you have come to the mountain of Calvary and there you look to the Savior, the one who says, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of God was lifted up, that all who believe in him should not perish. On that day, when he calls, they will come forth unto the resurrection of life. This is what we all must aim for during our appointed time. This is the time. Don't wait till then. This appointed time on earth is for us to live for him, to know the truth, and to receive that truth, and to claim for yourself that wonderful, blessed hope that one day I know after death, the Son of God will call me and he will give me that resurrection of life. Now the second resurrection. Be very careful. Not death ends it all. Death ends it all for the moment. But the appointed time will come when God will call. Maybe you should turn to that passage. John chapter 5, as we conclude this morning's message. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. So that God's word can speak to you directly. John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. There is no declining. Why? As I said, inasmuch as you came into the world, not by your own volition, you were sent in. And when you are sent forth, you've got to leave this world. And the next sending, calling, is when the appointed time of lying in the grave is up. The Creator himself will call, and you must come forth. You don't agree with that? Then I ask you, when you were born, did you agree to being born? You didn't agree. You came. So when the Creator calls, whether you agree or not, in as much as you were born, you came into this world without your consent. In that day, when God calls, consent or not, ready or not, you got to come. Please understand. This is the law of God. This is the word of life. This is the truth. And this is given to us today lovingly. Because there is time. There is a time to receive the Savior. Then he says, verse 29, he will come forth. They that have done good, you say, but what good can I do? What good? You say, all men are sinners. All have done evil. True? True. Very true. But the one good thing that you must do is believe on the Son of God. Believe on Him who God sent for you. God sent only one Son. Only one Jesus Christ. Only one Savior for the world. Not five or ten or many Saviors. Only one. And the only good thing you can do to save yourself is, I receive Jesus as my Savior. So simple. It costs you nothing. Only thing is your will to bend to His will. God sent His only Son. And there on Calvary's cross, He poured out His blood and He died for you. And He says, look to me. Just believe that I died for you. And then you have that life everlasting. When you die, you have already the assurance, because your soul absent from the body, your soul is present with the Lord. Then you wait. Wait for your appointed time. Then you will come forth, they that have done good. The Lord will say, thou good and faithful servant, you have believed in my Son. That is enough. Nothing else. How do we know? I know this for sure, because on the cross, that thief, of the two thieves, that one thief, looked to the Lord in faith, and he believed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, give me a place. I believe in you. Remember me. Jesus says, this day, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That assurance, that comfort must come to all of you here. Someone who has never said yes to Jesus Christ, say so today. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. I want to be part of that call group, the ones who will be included in the first resurrection. Verse 29. You will come forth because you have done good. The one good thing you ever do in your whole life is to say yes to Jesus Christ and no to all other ways of salvation, including your own righteousness. No, I cannot save myself. I know Jesus Christ has done it, and I want Him to be my Savior. Now, the second group. Unto the resurrection of life. Now, the second group. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There will be a second call. And I say, please, don't wait for the second call. Don't. Why? Because the second call will come later, and the Son of God will call again and say, come up. There's no refusal. And then he says, that is for judgment. That is for judgment. And that one judgment is just on one thing. When you were on earth in this appointed time, did you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? You cannot deny it. Then the second question is, did you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? He offered himself. I have died for you. You don't have to die. Did you believe him? Say, unfortunately, I did not. That is it. My friends, here we are during this appointed time that God has given to us, and I do not know how much more appointed time you have, but I know whatever it is not long. Come, let us serve Him together. In this church, proclaim the word. Go forth, spread the gospel. Wherever God sends you, you have a time appointed, not very long, before we will hear the glad cry, the bridegroom comes, we shall be gathered to him. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may the Holy Spirit enable us to bend our will to thine, to open our ears to hear the gospel and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for offering yourself to me. Thank you for speaking to me today. Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior and change my life. And write my name in the book of life in heaven and ensure for me that I shall have a part in the first resurrection. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.